Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
So, I got one for you, boss.
Oh, yeah?
What's black, white, and dented all over?
I give up.
The company truck. I know, but thanks to our agent, we've already submitted an insurance claim and can track the status right from the app. Auto owners pays what they owe without any hassle.
Lucky for you, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if auto owners make sense for you.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
I'm going to have a large needle pierce both of my very sensitive nipples in the next few days.
I've heard it makes your nipples even more sensitive once the stud or the bar is in there. So what if you find out you like it?
That would be a silver lining to watching Mike Tomlin's football teams play Thursday night games on the road.
I hurt for you today.
Against AFC North opponents. Do you?
I hurt for you today. I do. I'm not like Donnie, who I think is reveling in this to a degree previously incomprehensible. I hurt for you, my friend, because we're about the same age, and we're both fathers.
My nipples already have a weird tingly sensation. Yeah,
okay. Like a pre...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they know that something bad is going to happen, and I'm trying to cherish the remaining days I have with them.
Like when it's about to storm and you can feel it in your bones. Someday your daughter is going to find out, probably with how smart she is, like it'll be in the next 2 weeks she'll realize daddy's getting his nipples pierced.
No, she already is talking to me about it this morning.
Oh,
saying, "Daddy, your nipples are going to hurt?" Yes, they are. Oh. And I wanted to say it's all Mike Tomlin's fault, but it's not. It's my fault. I'm the stupid ass that said, "Oh, this game's going to be different."
Yeah.
I'm the moron who said, "Oh my God, no Joe Burrow, and now Trey Hendrickson's out." They're not going to lose this game. Sure.
The Bengals can't run the ball.
I'll go do something asinine and pop off and shoot my mouth and make some kind of BS wager that I'll never have to worry about paying off.
You thought they
were
going to win.
Sure, I'll get my nipples pierced.
You thought
what difference does it make?
38-3.
I know, Chris. Thank you for reminding me of that.
You didn't even call a close-ish win. You said 38-3.
It shouldn't have been.
When that ball was up in the air on Rodgers' Hail Mary, I will concede that for a split second.
No, at that point,
you realize everyone's going to have a chance to get down there. You know they never call penalties on Hail Marys. It's a rule.
And he's the greatest Hail Mary
but
tosser
he got
of all
it
time.
All the way there. Did you see it was the furthest a ball has been thrown in the air since 2017 in the league?
Yes, threw it I did 70 see that. Yards. That didn't make me feel better about my new reality in life. But yeah, I did see that. And it's cool that Aaron Rodgers can still throw a football that far.
Pony, can I... To talk about the game here.
I don't want to do that yet.
Okay, you're still thinking about your nips?
Yes. I want to tell people because they're probably listening right now.
Yeah.
In part because they want to
have a pound of flesh.
Yeah.
Or a pound of 2 pounds of flesh.
And I want to give them some details on what's going to happen here.
That's a good call because people have been just beating down my door asking me when I am going to hold you to account on the nipple bet.
So it is going to happen. It is going to happen before this month is over. What we're trying to work out right now is where it's going to happen. But this is absolutely going to be something where the freaks out there who are sadists who want to see me in pain and agony are going to be able to do this somewhere in person. So it will be an event. There will be an admission price. However, that admission price, I'm very pleased to say, is going to go to a breast cancer charity, because we are talking about nipples and it is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So there is actually some good that is going to come out of this.
Oh, I think there's plenty of good.
My nipples will get pierced. Yeah. I'm telling everybody right now, there's no funny business here. I'm going to do it without...
You're not going to Crowley the bet.
I'm going to do it without numbing agents. It's going to happen live. I need some help, possibly from you out there, on finding a professional out there who, with tender love and care, pierces nipples and has an outstanding resume, a better resume than Mike Tomlin on Thursday Night Football.
Would you call
when
it you're looking,
piercing nipples?
Would you say you're looking for the Joe Flacco of nipple piercing
I'm
right now?
I'm looking for
the Jamar Chase of piercing nips.
I'm looking for someone who is a stand-up professional and is not going to do anything that is going to cause me additional pain than already the enormous amount I'm going to feel when this
so
happens.
So if I told you I had found the Joey Porter Jr. of nipple piercers, you would not want that.
I would not be ecstatic about it, no. Also, okay. I am very, very, very selfish and very, very, very much still in my own feelings about this. So I am opening up the phone lines right now at 412-928-9370. And if anybody out there with personal nipple piercing experience would like to call in and give me an idea of what I'm in for, that would be outstanding as well at 412-928-9370.
You're not allowed to
what
drink before this,
what am I on
too.
The hook for?
You're not allowed to drink. Thins your blood too much. I have heard no
drinking.
And that
would make it dangerous because I would bleed out in front of everybody, potentially.
Yeah, you're not. You're definitely not allowed to drink because...
Am I at risk for infection?
If somebody does it correct.
Okay, so these are all things I'd like to learn here between
we will
now.
Hire trained professional. There will be trained professionals so doing this. They will take all the usual precautions, all that stuff.
We have to get the exact date. We have to get the exact location. But this is not going to be one of those things where sports talk radio guy runs his mouth on Twitter and then crawls into a darkness retreat somewhere a la Aaron Rodgers and just waits for the news cycle to pass and never actually pays up. I am going to do this, and for whatever reason, the entire sports world literally has become fascinated
by your nipples.
By my nipples. And in this
would
respect,
would you say you are the single biggest story in sports right now?
Maybe.
Your nipples.
In this respect, Mike Tomlin does owe me one. Because more people are obsessed with my nipples right now than they are the horse crap performance by his $160 million defense. So a nice donation to the charity that we're going to pick. And a fruit basket would be nice or something like that, too. Maybe he can have his wife send me all of his Tomlinism slogan T-shirts, and I can wear them mockingly on the air here to see.
You're going to look like Ryan Day in that one picture.
But people have already warned me that, like, Amanda King, our promotions director here, is like, you're going to have a hard time wearing shirts after this.
What about all
because
those bench
all
press
of the
reps
rubbing,
you're doing? Yeah. The rubbing, the chafing.
The rubbing of the shirt is going to cause me to relive the piercing over and over again, yeah.
How are you going to work out? You'll get sweat into the nipple.
Shirtless, I guess.
But then what if the bar comes down wrong and
I don't
you hit
know,
your
Chris,
nipple?
These are things, these are now...
What if you caught something on the nipple and it just ripped it clean
oh
off?
God. Not the nipple.
Not the nipple.
Malsy.
Hold my hand.
Yeah.
I'm not holding your hand during this.
This is going
to
be...
YouTube commenters, it doesn't even hurt, Pony. Don't worry. Wow. He'll
you
have
said
to...
that. Jury Rance Taint? That's
no,
reassuring.
That was Johnny and Farrell, who probably has had a
yeah,
piercing
but he's also
stoned.
Stoned out of his mind 24-7. No, this is going to be me. Doesn't that seem like more of an accurate depiction of what's going
to
happen?
Yeah. Somebody also said, Pony's going to have to bite down on that pen extra hard. So they're just tying together things they rip you for. Chewing
would you
on
count
pens.
That as a numbing agent if there's something I put in my mouth?
Just quick
to
story.
Ease pain.
So quick story. My brother, there was years ago.
We have full lines of people that want to talk about my. I almost said the T word right now. I don't know if I can say that on the air.
Tatas.
We've got full lines of people that want to chime in on this.
Yeah.
See what the world's come to again.
So you asking if
you're
a bite?
Welcome, Mike Tomlin.
Yeah. Actually, I think there has to be some like. silver lining here. Like, people who would normally be mad at Tomlin are so happy you're going to go through this that they're not as mad at him. So he should actually be thanking you as well.
Oh, I heard from people who said that to me last night. They're like, yeah, this loss really sucks. But then I woke up this morning and I'm like, wait, Pony has to get his nipples pierced right now. And for a split second, a smile crossed my face and I felt better about things.
So you asked if like a bite stick or something, which they do offer, is
that a piercing place?
Well, just in general. So my brother had like a burn situation on his forearm years and years ago, and it completely
healed.
I'm
sorry to hear that, Malzy.
Yeah, I mean, just like kitchen accident, whatever. And he goes to the hospital, and they've got to take some of the dead skin off and all this kind of gross. They go, do you want like a numbing agent? He goes, because he, I guess, decided I'm going to be a tough guy. He goes, no, give me a bite stick, which they have.
Uh-huh.
So he just bit down with, I would imagine, an amount of force that, you know, is comparable to an alligator, not quite, and said that that was more worthwhile than actually taking a numbing agent. He needed to feel the pain. But yes, they will give you stuff like a bite stick to do that.
Texters, are you going to get both pierced? Yes, I have to get both. I said
how
both.
Long will you leave them in has been another question.
Whatever I want with. There were no rules.
No, there was
and stipulations
no, there were no
put on per, that.
There were no conditions. So once they tell you, you have to leave them in for safety reasons for maybe 2 weeks. Those things are coming out at 2 weeks and one day.
Here is Tate in Oakdale, who is a Steelers fan with pierced nipples. Hello, Tate.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Hey, man. Tate, what am I in for here?
You're not in for as bad as you think you are. I had my right nipple pierced.
Congratulations
when I was in
on
college.
All your success.
And I did not have any numbing agents. I don't feel like that was a thing, at least back in the mid-90s.
Okay.
All right. The
anticipation was the worst part for me. I tensed up, probably stopped breathing for a while, and by the time it was all said and done, the pain wasn't that bad, but I still felt like I wanted to pass out afterwards.
Why is
just
that?
From the anticipation. Just nerves, because you feel like it's going to hurt like
can heck, I ask you something?
And did you just stare at this giant needle that was about to go into your nipple the whole time?
They don't make you stare at it. I don't even think they show it to you, but okay. I didn't want to see it.
Yeah. Tate, can I just ask, what was your motivation for getting a nipple pierced?
Well, it's just something to do, just being a crazy college student, and we were talking about it because we were down Ocean City.
Yeah, you know, we're just bored. Well, you know what we should do today, guys? Let's go get our nipples pierced. Yeah!
Is that
great
not,
idea.
Is that not a Pittsburgh story in 2X? Yeah, we were just bored down Ocean City, said, well, I'll get my nipple pierced, something to do.
Steelers lose a heartbreaker to the Bengals. For me, it was painful. It will be literally painful soon. When we get the date, we'll pass it along.
You thought watching Mike Tomlin's defense hurt. Oh, buddy, are you in for it?
412-928-9370. Some of the biggest names in sports media are talking about this show and me today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where's our car?
It's been stolen.
Well, call our insurance agent. I'm right here.
Oh, hey, Jen. You got our invite.
Love the dress.
Are we covered for this?
Of course. That's why you chose Auto Owners. We work together to get the right coverage. So when the unexpected happens, you know you're covered.
That's simple human sense.
Now, how do we get to the airport? Take mine.
Thanks, Jen.
Ask your independent agent if auto owners make sense for you.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
All right, Donnie. One of the things that Pomp and I do, and it's a Donnie Football Friday, I might add, with Greensburg's own Donnie Football, brought to you by Smale Kia Route 30 in Greensburg. One of the things Bob and I do every week is we follow along with Ray Fittipaldo's report card and give our own grades. Limits jumps in and we have a fine time. Are you willing to do this, Donnie?
Yeah, let's do it.
One of the things that I wish Ray would grade is the officiating. Does Ray have a suggestion box at the Post-Gazette? Can we send him that? Ray, I wish he would grade the officiating from every game, along with the players and coaches.
He does a mailbag like all of you, right?
Yeah, I think
maybe
I'm going to send...
Maybe you could sneak in there as Dr. Kornfetter.
I think I will actually sneak in as Dr. Kornfetter because I want him to grade that. And that's where I'm going to start. And I think I'm going to surprise you. But first, let me tell you that Sports Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. I'm going to tell you something, Donnie, that might not be popular. I thought that Clay Martin's crew did an A-plus job in that game last night. I thought, and the eye in the sky and back to New York and whatever they were doing.
So you count all of that as the, like, overall grade?
The overall officiating grade. We've never done this before, so I'm open to any of your suggestions if you want to put them in my suggestion box. When there was something in dispute, it was expedited really quickly, and I thought I didn't have a problem with any call in that game. It was the best officiated game that I can remember seeing in recent years. The interception by the Bengals where the knee down counted as 2 feet, they got that right. That was a great play, by the way. They got it right. The Porter penalties, they got right. They might have missed one on T. Higgins. The Higgins touchdown we thought was a touchdown. That was an easy one. They got that right. The Higgins catch along the sidelines late in the first half, bobbled the ball immediately. They got that right. The spot late in the game where they ran a Flacco sneak, but Zach Taylor threw the challenge flag. Immediately, it was moved up a little bit, but not all the way to the first down. Beautiful. Let's go. It was just like, this is the way it should be with technology. Plus, I think the guys on the field are doing a really good job. Does anybody, including you, have a call or something that you found outrageous? I even thought the holding call on Broderick Jones. Pony said it wasn't holding. Yes, it was, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, he had the like initial like arm around the neck thing, which is always a tough look. And then, you know, he tries to get rid of it. I mean, that's one of those plays where it's fine either way.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought on maybe like one of the Porter plays, it was a little bit ticky-tacky, but then you watch it back and there was a clear grab of the uniform. Maybe he got away with one and maybe it was sort of a makeup on that play down the sideline. But I would say with all things involved, I didn't know if your grade was just going to be their initial performance without any outside help. I would say with all of the elements involved, yeah, because you want to have an expedited replay system because that is what has held up games in the past.
Yeah.
And I know in some games it builds up the drama a little bit. However, we don't need to be looking at plays for 2+ minutes to figure out what the call is. You should be able to figure out in the first 10 to 15 seconds
yeah.
what the call is supposed to be, and that is what the replay review system has turned into, which I think is good for the game. Yeah, does it get it doesn't give us all a look like it used to because they really don't have enough time for that. Usually it's just a very quick announcement.
Yeah.
Like, hey guys, we got this wrong. This is the right call. But that's perfectly fine because it keeps everything moving the way it should.
And they got it right. Like, they took a little bit longer because it was a huge play, that interception near the end of the first half. I couldn't believe that who was it who made the play? Turner, who got it, got his knee down.
DJ Turner.
And a knee counts as 2 feet. They got it right. And I'm not a fan of NFL officiating. I come bitching and moaning out of every game. Not this one. I give them an A+.
And I also credit them for the play. I can't remember if it was Higgins or Chase along the sideline. But when you see that play in real time, I'm watching the game thinking, why are they even looking at this?
Me too.
You can clearly see he's dragging the foot.
It was Chase at the end of the first half.
They said, well, yeah, he is dragging the foot. He got 2 feet down, but he's bobbling the ball as he goes out of bounds. I mean, that's terrific work.
Terrific work. The whole night, it was a well-officiated game. Give it a grade.
I would go with an A.
A+. I'm fine for me. Limits?
I'm good with an A, A-. There were a couple of things with some ticky-tacky pass interference stuff. I wonder if it was going to get called, if not. But I'd rather them let them play, like with just Porter and Jamar Chase in those situations.
I mean, you can only let Porter play so much.
Right.
He's grabbing and holding. I mean, imagine if he wasn't.
Yeah, he's very
imagine
handsy.
What would be happening to him if he didn't do
one,
all that.
One play I didn't care for, and maybe they could have just gone no flag. It would have been the same result anyway. I did think the defensive pass interference they called on Ramsey very easily could have been called on Chase at the same time. I would have said just don't throw a flag. Chase catches the touchdown regardless.
Well, what did you think of the holding penalty that was called on Broderick Jones, where basically the defenseman, the
we talked about it limits and we
slipped.
Both agreed.
I did not like that call.
I thought he grabbed him around the neck. Plus, on the touchdown, here's one that people had a problem with. The touchdown to Chase that went over Ramsey, there was no flag on that play, correct? The actual touchdown that counted?
I thought that was the one that had the...
I thought there,
yeah,
was,
there, passenger
there
thought
was there not was a flag play. On that one. It was the play before.
Play before that, yes. He also caught a touchdown, I think, and they flagged Ramsey. But on the actual touchdown, people wanted, including Ramsey, wanted Higgins for a push-off. The fact of the matter is that Ramsey grabbed his shoulder pad and Chase pushed him away. So that was a good no call. A+, quarterback.
I'm going it with an A. Maybe an A-. You want to dock him for the one bad pick he did throw.
Sure.
I don't give the second one to him. But, I mean, otherwise, Aaron Rodgers and that offense is what kept them in this game.
He wasn't just, like, efficient, and, yeah, they played a good game. It was one of the best performances in recent history by a Steeler quarterback. He was phenomenal. He was running all over the place, making throws against the grain. His accuracy... Flacco kind of outdid him, which was amazing. Listen, the game itself was...
Flacco was an A+.
It was one of the greatest old man quarterback duels in the history of the league, and maybe the greatest Thursday night game, or at least right up there. People will remember that. I remember there was a game, Joe Montana, late in his career when he went to Kansas City, he had that magical sort of recapturing of his youth. And I still remember it to this day. People are going to remember that duel between Rodgers and Flacco. And I loved how they had a really nice interaction after the game. We get involved in our own bubble here because we need to. Nationally, if I'm sitting around in Columbia, South Carolina watching that game, I'm saying that's one of the best night games I've seen in a long time and a legendary duel. But Rodgers gets an A. He gets an A.
They rolled in there like Wyatt Earp and Doc Holliday, Joe.
They did. High noon.
Guns a-blazing.
Limits?
When we talked before the show, I gave Rodgers a B, and a reason why is because of that interception. I've moved my grade up to an A- upon some further review. I do think that first pick changed the momentum around a little bit, but the Steelers did grab it back late. I thought Aaron Rodgers was going to be good this year. Like, I had optimism. I wanted him here. I got a little frustrated and irritated how it dragged on so late. But he's playing even better than I could have anticipated. And I'd be very happy if they brought him back for another year.
Man, I mean, even on the interception, the one that wasn't his, the one that was his fault, you're taking a shot. And all of us are begging and crying to take shots down the field. He took a shot down the field. As Fitzpatrick pointed out at halftime, there was a problem with the play design in that there was nothing to distract the safety. There was nobody, nothing or nobody, no route scheme to distract the safety. So he immediately went over to Metcalf and made the play. All right, you take a shot, you don't get it. That was his only real bad mistake of the game. Running backs, Ray gives him an A. Jaylen Warren missed his career high by 3 yards rushing, had 158 yards from scrimmage. I thought he should have gotten the ball more, to be honest with you. Gainwell had some decent plays. I agree with Ray. I give him an A.
Yeah, I mean,
I think
I think the only thing holding them back maybe from an A-plus wasn't even their own doing because they should have been leaned on more in the game.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought it should have been more of a split where, you know, Warren got 16, he had 127, he was highly efficient. Gainwell should have gotten more on the ground. I thought Caleb Johnson should have even gotten a couple of touches to mix in here because you knew you could run the ball at will against that Bengals defense.
Yeah.
So those guys did their jobs. It's just they should have done more of it. Like the game plan should have called for more of it. But yeah, that's an A effort.
Limits?
I agree. I give the running backs an A. Jaylen Warren looked the best that maybe he's ever looked as a Steeler.
Maybe a sober analysis of this game would be the defense can't possibly be that bad, can it? And they're not going to see many Jamar Chases because I think he's the best receiver in football. And the Steelers have an offense. Then again, the Bengals defense stinks. But Rodgers and this line and these receivers and backs, it's starting to look like a mature, explosive NFL offense. Oh, well. The receivers, and these include the tight ends, anybody who caught the football, includes running backs, anybody who caught the football. Ray gives him a B with the big demerit being Metcalf getting allowing for that interception to happen. I'm going to give him an A-. I suppose he does deserve a demerit there, but sometimes you just got to say the other guys made a great play. I don't know who the safety was who made the hit. It was a hell of a hit and a great and unlikely interception. So I'm going to give the receivers an A-. Donnie?
I'll go B+. I do think there has to be some warrant out there for Metcalf allowing that play to happen. I know it was a great play on the other side, but still it has to count for something against the Steelers. Warren was effective out of the backfield. Freiermuth had a career night that came in a loss, 111 and two touchdowns. He had the 68-yard touchdown catch. Every single tight end involved in some way, shape, or form.
All 11 of them, yes.
Hayward even had a target. Every single tight end now this year has a touchdown reception. The tight ends were put to good use last night. I think the only complaint people would have is that not enough of Darnell Washington. He played under 40 snaps and still that weird screen pass to him where he just got chopped down like an oak.
I just don't get the design there. Like, he's so far behind the line already, he's probably going to have to shake at least one guy, and shaking isn't his game. Limits, receiver grade.
I think we're burying the lead here, guys. Roman Wilson made two big plays.
We haven't even mentioned him, Donnie.
First downs.
Yes.
Like, this is the most encouraged I've ever been with Roman Wilson. A, he was on the field. Two, Aaron Rodgers trusted him to throw him the ball. And three, he picked up two big gains that they needed in that game.
And one got called back on a Broderick holding penalty.
Yep.
He made a big play late in the game.
So I was impressed by Roman. I like what I saw.
Yeah, good call there.
Yes, very good call. Offensive line, Ray gives an A. The only problem I had was Broderick Jones tackling his own quarterback after a touchdown and almost injuring him. And it's an all-time clip on social media. And Donnie, I wasn't kidding earlier when I said if he had injured Rodgers on that play and it looked like Rodgers was hurt, and it was after the Freiermuth touchdown, the second one, which should have been the winning one, Rodgers does his little, what did you call it?
He does like the jumping fist pump.
Yeah.
Yeah, the old unk celebration.
He does that. He starts running to the sidelines, and, you know, this massive tackle, Broderick Jones, sprints up behind him and leaps on his back, and Rodgers crumples to the turf, and he looks to be hurt, and then he gets up and snaps on Jones. If he gets hurt, if that's a season-ending injury, it's one of the great gaffes in football history. and it'll be played forever and ever.
Joe, that would be like me hopping on Limits' back when he's walking out of the producer's booth in about 30 minutes.
Exactly.
I'll be like, Donnie, I'm about to fall over. You're going to injure me.
It was incredible. But the line in general gets an A. I agree with Ray.
Yeah, I mean, the pass rush for since he was non-existent, so I would say they had a pretty easy night. It's hard to not give them an A because they were doing everything that was required. Rodgers did not get sacked. They ran the football very effectively. The offense put up 31 points.
Yeah. Limits?
I give them an A-, but again, they don't allow a sack. Just like the previous game, they're getting
Where does the
better.
Minus come from, Limits? They ran at will, and they protected Rodgers.
Well, Broderick Jones could have made it a complete and utter minus, so that's where it falls into play for me.
Fair enough. Defense, see, Ray's usually a tough grader. He gave Aaron Rodgers a C+. How does every unit on the defense not get an F?
Yeah, we're able to make this part quick.
I mean, he gives the defensive line a D. What? Ray, come on. He gives the linebackers a C-. Oh, my God, it was one of the worst games of T.J. Watt's career. Alex Highsmith, did he play? Was he in the game? Nick Herbig, when he was in, did nothing. Patrick Queen was the master of miscommunication late in the game. I guess he made a play or two. Did Peyton Wilson play? Ray, a C-? I'm going to send Ray another note this week. I am in the mailbag. I can't believe he let these linebackers off the hook. It was F line, F linebackers, and an F minus for the secondary.
Joe, I assume you have seen the movie Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Yes, I did. One of my favorites.
Now, I'm not going to bring up the most iconic scene because that's not necessarily radio appropriate. But
Spicoli was in that movie, yes?
Yes. But there is a scene in that movie where they are in class and their teacher, Mr. Hand, he is handing back test scores.
Yeah.
And he goes through a whole row of students, F, 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 F. That's what the Steelers defense gets. I'm going to make it short and sweet. Every single unit on the defense, F.
I'm flabbergasted that Ray gave the linebackers a C-. I'm actually upset about it, and I want to text him during the break.
Well, I'll compare it to Oprah. You get an F, you get an F, you get an F. Everyone gets an F because I just could not believe how poorly they played defensively. I couldn't believe it after the promise that we saw in the previous few weeks.
Here's what else bothers me about this, and I love Ray. Love him like a brother, perhaps an uncle, perhaps a nephew. I don't know. Watt got to Flacco late in the game. That's your only mention of T.J. Watt? It was an otherwise quiet night for the outside linebackers. Alex Highsmith and Nick Herbig did not have any pressures. Cole Holcomb led the inside linebackers with 7 tackles, but Chase Brown had far too many yards after contact on the second level. T.J. Watt was maybe their worst defensive player. Can we just be honest with that? Like, does that upset people to say it out loud? He got swallowed up. He got like buried alive by Amarius Mims. That's just a fact. Yeah, they had some help on some plays. This wasn't like Broderick Jones against Garrett, where there were double teams coming from all over the place, chips on every play. This was sometimes, and maybe often, Mims against Watt one-on-one, and Watt did absolutely nothing until that play late in the game. He made one play. In fact, he had one tackle. It was one of the least impactful games that he has ever played. But go ahead.
And we have seen that story before. We have seen games where the Steelers are going into a matchup in which they should have a huge advantage over the other team's offensive line. We saw it the first game of the season against the Jets, a makeshift group
yeah.
who had just lost Elijah Vera Tucker, their best offensive lineman,
right.
a week before the season started. We saw it a couple of years ago, if you remember, in Houston, a bad offensive line trying to protect a rookie C.J. Stroud. We have seen moments over the course of the last few seasons where the Steelers have faced either scrambled together or downright bad offensive lines, and somehow we come away after the game thinking they couldn't get to the quarterback.
And that's why the comment from Tomlin, I have to believe some of that is fight. And Tomlin complimented them on their fight after the game, which I absolutely didn't get. F's across the board, Limits. Yes, on the defense?
Fully. F's everywhere.
Special teams gets an A.
I give them an E.
E, yeah.
When we were in grade school at St. E's, they felt bad about giving out Fs. So instead of writing an F, if you failed, you would get an E.
Man, I thought those Catholic schools were even tougher on the grading scales. I thought they would have happily tossed the F down on the page. How about an I for incomplete?
Yeah, E for egregious. F for, well, we know what F is for. E, F. We went through the alphabet 2 weeks ago. Let's not do that again. G would be god-awful, right? Yep. I mean, they truly were.
What's H?
Special team, you don't want to know. Special teams gets an A. Sort of a nondescript game. I would have liked to see one of those kicks get blocked, wouldn't you?
There was also some nice returns.
There were.
Kashawn
Williams is pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, he averaged over 30 yards per kick return. So, I mean, he was able to set them up with some relatively short fields. So, I mean, I would say he certainly deserves credit there. And Boswell, of course, and his opportunities made it look easy.
And then coaching, Ray is very generous, gives a C. Now, Arthur Smith, I think overall, probably did a pretty good job, although I really did have a problem with a couple things. But I'm sorry, if you're going to give the offense an A-, I guess you give the defense an F and you come up with a C. But I heavily weighted the defense. I grade on a curve based on money invested, and it's the highest paid defense in all of football. Therefore, there's more weight on their grade. I give a D to the coaching. And the head coach, by the way, is the de facto defensive coordinator, and he gets the most heavily weighted grade every week. The head coach, he was absolutely destroyed by Zach Taylor, who everybody in Cincy wanted to give up the play calling. He had to announce why he was keeping it this past week, and he destroyed Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, I mean, if we are saying that the OC, like if I want to say Arthur Smith was an A-, but the defensive coaching was an F, would that average to like a D+? Does that sound about right?
Yeah, unless you're weighting it the way I did. Like, you know, it's a grading on a curve, right?
Yeah, I'd go D+.
That's fine. Limits? What do you have?
I'm trying to separate Artie from this just because I feel like it's a tale of two cities here. Offense was an A, defense was an F. You meet in the middle for about a D+.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of the worst losses I've seen Mike Tomlin have, and he's the head coach. I can't give the coaching from this game an average grade, which is a C. I just can't. Very upset with Ray, I guess, in the end, Donnie.
I think he's oddly generous when he shouldn't be, and then oddly critical, oddly harsh with the grading.
I thought so, too, this week. But we love him.
We're joined by our filmer breaker downer guy from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Chris Carter. He's on the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Hey, good morning to you, Chris. I'm sure you, like us, got zero sleep last night. What do you think was the Steelers' biggest issue last night?
I think the biggest issue is that this team was built on the idea, the secondary and defense was built on the idea that they could run man coverage and they could run with anybody in the NFL. And that did not happen last night. When they went to man coverage, they were getting cooked. And sometimes it was, hey, this is a great throw with great receivers making great plays. You got to give credit to Joe Flacco. Some of the throws he made were just exceptional. But there were other times where it's like, man, Jalen Ramsey, Joey Porter, you're supposed to win these situations. You're not supposed to. And I thought Jalen Ramsey took great accountability after the game when he said, you know, bleep the refs. Like, this ain't about that. He's like, we know that they're going to push off. We know that they're going to come out and they're going to do those things. We have to be better prepared. And, like, a perfect example was the one breakup he had on T. Higgins in the end zone. T. Higgins pushed off him, but this time he was ready to absorb it and counter it. And I think that's the thing is that, like, yes, the Bengals push off regularly, and if it was called like by the book, the Bengals would probably have like 200 yards in penalties because T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase just shove cornerbacks all over the field. But we know that they don't do that, and so you have to be better to get around that. And I think that's the thing in this game that didn't happen enough was that him and Joey Porter Jr., especially Darius Slay too, he got cooked by Iosifus on that one deep ball. They were supposed to live in man coverage, and they couldn't with this team. And I think that could be a concern moving forward when you face other teams that have two really good wide receivers. Are you going to be able to man them up? Or are you going to have to go back to being a team that lives in zone and be more creative with that? I think that is the concerning thing that comes out of this game.
What did you think about the offense? Was it kind of like a false look because the defense was so bad for the Cincinnati Bengals? Or do you think the offense actually looked pretty good?
I think that they took what was there and they did what they were supposed to do. Yes, the Bengals are a bad defense and they should have been able to score points on them, but they did. And so I look at some of the things that didn't happen. They made, you know, Aaron Rodgers, that one, I agree with you, Adam, that first throw that was intercepted was not a good decision. But, you know, I don't know how many other times you're going to put a ball to DK Metcalf like that on the second interception and it come down as an interception. Personally, I thought that the rule that took the Jalen Ramsey touchdown against the Vikings was supposed to apply because DK Metcalf's hand was on the ball while he was laying out of bounds. So I thought that shouldn't have been an interception. It should have been a complete pass. But either way, I look at the way that the offense played in this game, and I say when you score 31 points, you're supposed to win with this team. So I'm not mad at them at all. I think the offensive line is taking steps forward. I mean, there were times last year, guys, when it didn't matter. The three of us could be the defensive line, and they would have gotten pressure on Russell Wilson at times last year.
Well, maybe two of the three.
But in all seriousness, like they were giving Aaron Rodgers plenty of time, and I think that they deserve credit for that. They ran the ball well, and Aaron Rodgers. I know that Arthur Smith. The whole team might have lost that one, but Arthur Smith went to bed feeling really happy because he got Aaron Rodgers to throw four touchdown passes to tight ends, and that's just what Arthur Smith loves to do. So I think that they showed good signs, but like everything else, they got to keep building forward. I think the offense is trending positively. The shame of it is if the defense had continued their positive trends, they would have walked away with an easy win in this one.
Absolutely. Chris Carter, the Post-Gazette, joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. The Steelers had gotten a ton of pressure the last 3 weeks, 17 sacks. They had also stopped the run in a way that they didn't in the playoff game last year in the first couple of games of this season. What happened against the run yesterday?
I'm still assessing that. I haven't had a chance to look at the all-22 just yet. But I think that the big thing was that they did not properly anticipate where the Bengals were going to be coming from in their run game, particularly because the Bengals just didn't run the ball before this week. They had 56 yards per game, before this. And that's not because they were just running, 50 times a game and getting 2 yards. It was because they just haven't been running the ball. So I think part of it might have been they might not have properly anticipated it. But as Cam Hayward says, it doesn't matter. You're supposed to stop the run. Like, against this offensive line, you weren't supposed to let them get going. You're supposed to be aggressive and set the tone. And that's something that also should be alarming if the Steelers defense can't do this with offenses that just want to show some new looks. And so personally, I think that the Steelers defense was, again, the biggest reason here. But when you allow them to run the ball and your man coverage isn't working and then your pass rush isn't getting home a whole lot, you're going to have some problems. And I also think that some of the problems was, hey, the Bengals, they get away with a lot of holes. But again, you have to fight through those things. That's what good teams do. You go back to some of those big games in the 2008 season when they won a Super Bowl. There were several times where those players fought through really bad calls that should have been. I mean, you can go back to the Colts game in 2005 when Joey Porter says cheat that. Referees are going to impact things, but you have to fight through them if you want to be a good or a great team. And I thought that they didn't do that last night.
Chris, you're the guy that asked Mike Tomlin the question about Andrew Berry, right?
Yes, that would
be. That was you. Do you think that Mike Tomlin's response was just in general, like you just don't do that? Or was it because of what we saw last night? Mm-hmm. Was Mike Tomlin afraid in knowing and kind of seeing the future of Joe Flacco dicing his defense up? Which one was it, do you think?
I thought it was more so about you don't do that, but I thought it was more so about a coaching fraternity thing. Because if you go back in this week, you see Kevin Stefanski saying, I didn't know we were doing that. And like he was legitimately caught off guard. And people forget, Kevin Stefanski and Mike Tomlin are boys. They used to coach together on the Vikings. So I actually thought that was more of Mike Tomlin just being like, I'm gonna stand up for my guy right now because the Browns are probably gonna stink even more now, and I'm gonna and he's gonna get cooked, and I'm gonna just put it out that maybe the GM had something to do with this. That's how I took it. I do think that he was like, hey, it also works out for the Bengals and it sucks for us because putting that guy with Jamar Chase and T. Higgins is a lot more dangerous than Jake Browning with those two. So I think that was certainly an element, but I think that how many times has Mike Tomlin complained about something like that to that level? I thought that was a specific instance where he was doing more to help Kevin Stefanski and to kind of back up the coaching fraternity than he was really to complain about Joe Flacco in that offense.
Chris Carter with us. He, of course, from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette and the Locked On Steelers podcast. Chris, the Steelers are still favored in Vegas to win the AFC North. They are plus, 130. and the Ravens at +125. Do you think that the Bengals have re-entered the fray? And do you think that the Steelers will still be able to win the AFC North?
I think they still have a shot. It still comes down to can they play their style of ball. This was a game that I honestly had as a toss-up for them because of the short week, Thursday night football. And it's funny, if Jake Browning was in, I actually do think I would have been like, oh, yeah. They should definitely win this one. But with Joe Flacco came out, I was like, I want to see how that looks, because Joe Flacco has shown the ability to be put in any offense and just make plays. And not just against the Steelers, but he rejuvenated the Browns a couple years ago when he was there. I look at the situation. I don't think the Bengals are out just yet, because I do think that Joe Flacco can give his receivers some chances to win. But I also think that there's going to be some times where like the Bengals' backs were against the wall. If they lose that game, they fall to, 2-5 on their record. So, like, they would have fallen out of contention. I don't know if they'll do all the work to get back in the race. But I do think the Ravens will be coming back. I do think that Lamar Jackson is going to get healthy. The rest of that schedule is not a difficult one. There's some challenges on the way. The Steelers need to get to 11 wins. That is the bottom line. And in their 11 wins, they have to split with the Ravens. And maybe I think at this point, to get there, you kind of need to beat the Bengals the second time, too. But you need to split with the Ravens, because if you split with the Ravens, you automatically already give them a 6th loss. So I think that's the key here, is it's still 11 wins. If you guys remember, at the start of the season, you guys asked me, I said this team is an 11-win team. I thought this is an 11-6 team. I still think they're on pace for that. The difference now is that, you know, the rest of the division has fallen short early. So you're saying, well, maybe if they push a little bit more, they'll get there. But I still think this is their division to win if they can get to 11 wins. But the bottom line is they gotta handle their business moving forward. This was a game that if they won, they would have given themselves a cushion to go 1-2 in these next three against the Packers, Chargers, and Colts. But now they kind of need to go 2-1 at least to get to that pace that we're talking about.
Chris, did anybody play well on defense? Was there any bright spots on defense?
You know, I thought Chuck Clark did. I thought that you think back to the he broke up that pass to Jamar Chase in the end zone. He had a big hit in the backfield. Now, granted, I have to look at how he did in other things, because obviously the whole pass defense just got chopped up,
yeah,
by the Bengals. So I mean, eventually, I'm sure he got cooked somewhere somehow. But I thought he did well there. But it's tough for me to pick and find anyone that did well in a game when you give up 33 points. In the way that they did, especially with the run game wasn't stopped, the pass game wasn't stopped, so it's tough to find anyone. But if just thinking off the top of my head, I would say Chuck Clark would be my answer. But if Chuck Clark's the guy that's been your best defensive player, something went terribly wrong in your game.
All right, last thing for you, and you sort of addressed it in your first answer, but I'll ask it more poignantly here than I did the first time around. More scheme or player related on the defense?
It's a mix, because the scheme was designed trusting that these guys would win those matchups. So, like, that is on the players. And I think that was Jalen Ramsey's point. It was like at the end of the game, they're in man coverage. He has the alignment. He even has good coverage. Joe Flacco just threw a better ball.
Yep.
T. Higgins adjusted to it in the air, and Jalen Ramsey got beat on that play. And if Jalen Ramsey makes a play on that one and intercepts that pass, we're not talking about it like that. So I think it's just that. But I do think the scheme comes into play is after the first half, when they realize, okay, we're calling man, and these guys are still cooking us, we need to come up with some different looks. That's where scheme comes into play. And so I think sometimes the coaching people get mad at coaching for a single game. To me, coaching comes best in when you don't allow something to carry over into future games. Like, for example, it was bad last year that they allowed themselves to get bullied in the run as much as they did in the late part of the season. And then you saw it come up in the playoff game, and that's why they lost. Now they have to look at it and say, hey, when we go up against other talent teams with talented wide receivers, including their rematch with the Bengals, they have to have a better plan in place. And sometimes it may be, I know the Steelers don't like to do this, but it may sometimes be just, you know what, we're putting two guys on both of these guys. And I know that might stink for Mike Tomlin. I know that might be like a sense of like, hey, we're not forfeiting that. But sometimes you may need to say, hey, we're going to do something that they don't expect us to do. Because Jamar Chase said they did what we expected them to do. And I think that was because the Steelers said, we're not going to forfeit the entire defense to stop these two guys. We're going to have some schemes, but we're still going to trust our guys to win across the board. It'll be up to the Steelers to decide, hey, was this a fluke performance? Will our DBs win the next time we come out there and we come to call similar things? Or do we change up what we do most of the time to face this specific team? That's going to be, I think, a big test when these teams play again in a month.
Chris, very good. We appreciate it as always, man. Get some sleep.
I'm going to try, fellas. See you later.
Thanks, Chris.
Chris Carter, the Post Gazette.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So, got one for you, boss.
Oh, yeah?
What's black, white, and dented all over?
I give up.
The company truck. I know, but thanks to our agent, we've already submitted an insurance claim and can track the status right from the app. Auto Owners pays what they owe without any hassle.
Lucky for you, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners makes sense for you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You know, a tough, hard-fought game, but certainly got to give credit to those guys, the Bengals. They did what was required to win. They made a few more plays than we did. Just from a analysis perspective, I just thought, the first half, we allowed them to run the ball too much. I think they had about 100 yards rushing at the half, and then we turned the ball over a couple times. And so that just kind of set a negative trajectory, and we're fighting uphill the rest of the way.
Yeah, part of me feels, Donnie, and I know you're about to make a big reveal here, and I want to get to that. Part of me feels like if the Steelers, as great as Rodgers was last night, I thought he was great, and then the offense did enough. But part of me also feels like if they had just dumbed down the game and handed it to Warren 30 or 35 times, they would have kept Flacco and Chase off the field, and it might have been an easier path toward victory. Do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, I know that they love the jumbo package, and it continues to work. And we saw how well they were running the football last night with Jalen Warren. You mix Kenny Gainwell in there. I was surprised that Caleb Johnson got nothing. I thought they would work in all three guys when they were running the football. And that is a way, when an offense is killing you the way the Bengals were, and we've seen in the past, and I am going to bring up like the Tom Brady Patriots, what has been the best game plan for those games? The best offense, or the best defense, is a good offense. You keep your offense out on the field, and you keep Joe Flacco on the sidelines, because they could not stop him. And I know that a question got brought up about Freiermuth and his touchdown late in the game, and I'm not going to blame the guy for taking that ball into the end zone.
But oh, me
I know,
neither. Me
I know
neither.
Somebody called the morning show and suggested, hey, should he have gone down? It could have killed more time. Here's the issue. It wouldn't have killed enough time. I am confident they could have left the Bengals, 20 seconds, 25 seconds?
Yeah.
They would have gotten a field goal. That's how little confidence I had in the Steelers' defense. Flacco would have whizzed a pass down the field. It would have either been caught or we would have had a pass interference penalty.
Yes.
And then here comes Evan McPherson, game over.
Let's dive into that in a couple minutes, Donnie, from both ends. The play Higgins made and the Steelers' second last possession and the Hail Mary, which was a pretty phenomenal throw by Rodgers, too. First, listen to the Pomp and Joe show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. We're coming up on the 50-minute mark. Brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township. But forget about all of that for now. You have a reveal to make, Donnie, and then we'll get to the phones.
I do, and this came from our friends at Keystone Custom Apparel, proud sponsors of 93.7 The Fan. One of their guys hit me up last night, said, hey, would you want to wear this shirt if we made it? I'll have it done and printed and finished by tomorrow morning. I'll bring it up to you while you're on with Joe. I said that would be perfect.
Yeah.
Gave him my size, and here we go, people. Now, I will put a picture of this on social media, too, for the folks that aren't on our YouTube page. But our YouTubers, they can see this here. So that is the front of the shirt.
Pony said it would.
And now here is the back of the shirt.
Limits, would you like to say what it says on the back?
But it didn't.
But it didn't. And now that poor man is going to have to get his nipples pierced, is that right, without numbing agents?
Yes. The only thing they could have added, and I've never made a t-shirt, but I think it would have been a funny touch if they had some sort of nipple piercings on the shirt somewhere.
Would have been good.
That would have been pretty funny.
And I don't think it's too late to add that. I think that the shirt could be updated. Ponies.
I did say that if the Steelers lose tonight, I'll get both of my nipples pierced with no numbing agents. How confident I am.
But you're not going to do that.
Why not? I followed through on my bet to produce the show.
I don't.
Why wouldn't I follow through on this one?
He did do that. It took him a while, but he did produce the show, yes?
He did.
So if he pays off this bet, I would imagine we'll get a wide, not only listenership, but viewership to see that whole thing go down.
And he brought up yesterday that in his words, I'm not going to be a guy that welches on show bets anymore. And he took a shot at Crowley, who didn't wear a pitch shirt to the backyard brawl after he said he would. And you know, other bets that he made that he didn't pay off.
Right.
So now he's got to put the nipples on the line here.
Let's be real here. This is going to be the most viewed video in the history of 93.7 The Fan. Pat McAfee just retweeted his tweet, too.
He did.
It's gotten significant traction. This has to happen. It has to happen live on the air.
And it has
and
to.
It will be insane to watch.
Here's the key, guys. It has to happen soon because you got to strike while the nipples are hot, so to speak. Right?
Or when they're hard.
Yeah. Oh, my. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think
this has to happen next week because then people start to forget about it.
Yes.
It has to happen before the next Steelers game, right?
Yeah, I mean, hopefully early next week.
And speaking of all that, you can watch us on YouTube. The numbers are just skyrocketing, and it's fun to invite you in and watch the show. So go to our YouTube channel. Don't cost nothing. You can get there via our website at 93.7thefan.com or just go to YouTube. Right now, if you choose. Meantime, we have tons of callers. The lines have lit up like a pinball machine, the way that Joe Flacco lit up that poor little Steelers secondary with no pass rush. I just can't get over, and I'll give the Bengals credit. And we talked about it last week, how teams in the division draft to try to nullify other teams' strengths. Amarius Mims just ate up T.J. Watt. It's like he dove into a lake every time and was trying to keep himself afloat. The guy just engulfed him, Donnie.
Yeah, I mean, I would not have anticipated a one-on-one battle for T.J. Watt going that south.
Me
because
neither.
We hear when he doesn't have these games, well, it's a lot of double teams. They double team the guy all game. And it's not like he was on an island the entire night, but enough times he was on that island.
Sure.
And the Bengals, who have had an offensive line get deserved criticism over the last couple of years, and especially this year, they came to play. Two sacks in 47 passing attempts.
Yes, they did.
I'd say that's a W.
Now, on the other side of the ball, I don't watch a lot of like Panthers games in recent years or the worst teams in the league because they're never on television, right? I personally have not seen or do not remember a pass rush as feeble as the Bengals without Trey Hendrickson. Herb Street brought it up a number of times. He was just astonished. It's the most pathetic NFL pass rush I think I've ever seen. They're literally zero threat. They have nobody. And that's why they're not going to go anywhere. Even with Flacco, they'll win some games and they'll be fun to watch. That is a pathetic, pathetic defense. They need to trade for a pass rusher, and I'm not even sure one to go with Hendrickson would help them that much.
I mean, you saw in the first touchdown last night, Aaron Rodgers had more than all day.
8.5 seconds. 8.5 seconds.
He was able to, I mean, he at 41 years old, was able to run to the other side of the field.
Yeah.
And then find a guy open in the end zone.
I can't remember for any team that considered itself good having a worse pass rush. I was astonished. Let's go to the phone lines, Limits.
All right, let's start with Joe on the road to talk to you, Joe.
Joe, you're on with Donnie Football. What's up?
What's up, guys? You guys pretty much hit on everything I wanted to say, but that defense was absolutely embarrassing. TJ Watt's on a milk carton. And at what point do you literally just say, we're not going to let this guy catch the ball anymore?
I know.
Anybody else can catch
Donnie.
The ball. Not this guy.
Donnie, what about triple team? Anything teaming him? It's like watching Michael Jordan say, yeah, we'll just go one-on-one with Michael Jordan.
I don't understand how you have a player that good where he's the best in the game and that isn't a plan. Like, make sure you take him out of it. I know T. Higgins is still pretty good, and he still had a nice little night as well, almost 100 and a touchdown.
Yeah.
But I would feel better if they let a player like that beat you than Jamar Chase, where everybody knew what this guy was capable of.
And there were two more passes that he could have caught. Plus, Flacco had a couple of – Flacco was almost perfect last night. But to sit there and let one guy shred you and still be wide open with nobody else on the television screen on the winning field goal drive, like I said, all of that contributes to why this was one of the most just embarrassing debacles, defensive debacles of Tomlin's 19-year tenure.
They were way too soft at the end of both halves. I mean, they were soft the entire game.
Yeah.
But when it got to crunch time, going into the locker room and at the end of the game, it was like the defense was very fine with, hey, you know, 15 to 20-yard pass plays down the field.
Right.
And they got field goals both times.
You just reminded me of something. I was including the obvious drops. That one at the end of the half, toward the end of the first half, where it was Jalen Ramsey, and it looked like Higgins caught the ball and dragged his foot, but he actually bobbled it. That's a catch. I mean, that should have been a catch.
Yeah.
Jalen Ramsey got beat on that one, too. Just the arrogance of, yeah, we'll cover anybody man-to-man. Yeah, no, you won't. Who's next?
Here's Emmanuel and Carnegie.
Hey, Emmanuel.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. You know, just uttering everything y'all would say, it was pathetic, the defensive performance. And that last drive, you had a two-minute warning to have a timeout to discuss things. We're talking about the same thing again. Defensive collapse. Yeah. If you're going to let Chase go off, let him go off, but don't let everybody else go off around him. This is one of the worst defensive performances. I mean, but I predicted this. I predicted them to lose this game, and we're still going to go 11-6 when it's all said and done.
I mean, and I know that I had them losing this game going into the season. I also assumed it would be Joe Burrow. I didn't think it would be Cowboy Joe Flacco again doing this to them the way he did with the Colts last season. So does that help me swallow it a little bit? I don't know, maybe, because my preseason thought was that they would lose this game, and my preseason thought was that they would be 4-2 at this point in the season. It's just how the games are going down.
Yeah.
Where, like, if Joe Burrow does this to them at this point in his career, it's okay, that guy is one of the three or four best at what he does in football. Not a guy that is hanging on and is surprised every single offseason when a team calls him to play quarterback.
And has, what did I say, 21 touchdowns and 18 picks in the last 3 years, 24 and 18? I mean, he just diced them. Limits, at some point, could you go to Warren Sharp at Sharp Football? Because he said that Jalen Ramsey, by the end of the game, was just a bracket guy helping to double other people. That's not the right move either. I mean, what are they doing? Sunny high today is 63. Jermoni Dawson low of 36. You know who that is, Jerome Bettis. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. He still thinks the Steelers are going 11-6. I don't. I think the entire sort of landscape of the AFC North, the mathematics of the whole situation, were radically altered. Kirk Herbstreit said early in the game when it started to go south as far as stopping the Bengals offense, the Steelers have a chance for a knockout punch tonight. And they whiffed. Instead of being 3.5 up on the Bengals and 4 on the Ravens, it's down to 1.5 on the Bengals. They breathed life into the Bengals. And now look, Hokie sat where you're sitting yesterday and said it was a bigger game for the Bengals than the Steelers. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll buy that. But let's not minimize what this was for the Steelers. A chance to lock down, I think, the AFC North. Now you look at it, especially the way the game went, they got Green Bay, Indy, and who's the third team?
The Chargers.
At the Chargers, yeah. In a night game. We could be looking at a 4-5, 5-4 team after 9 games with everybody else in it. They let everybody else up off the mat yesterday.
Yeah, and the other problem is that when the Bengals made this move, yeah, it was puzzling to some people. It happened within the division. I mean, I immediately thought, this makes that offense, at the very least, more zesty. And this could absolutely come back to hurt the Steelers. And when I put a tweet out there about it, you know, 10, 11 days ago, the replies have aged like hot milk, or like milk in the hot sun. Oh, well, Flacco's a statue. Oh, that offensive line's going to get him killed. He's terrible now, Donnie. Don't worry about him, Donnie. And look what he did last night. And I know their defense is awful, but Baltimore has an awful defense. The Steelers have an overrated defense, yeah, in these moments.
Yes.
And now you have a situation where if Flacco can keep that team afloat, Joe Burrow will come back by mid-December.
I'm not sure that's good to go through it last night.
But the way that they are playing, Burrow won't just look at this and think, well, I'm not going to rush to get back. The season's over.
Right.
If they can stay afloat and they still have life in the division, he's coming back. And
the
then
Steelers threw him a life raft. That's why they're afloat.
Lamar Jackson will be back. Joe Burrow will be back. And they are going to have to hold on for dear life. That's why I'm happy that, you know, in the afternoons, Pony trying to peer pressure me into crowning the Steelers as the AFC North champs. And I said, I'm not going there. I don't care if they're 4-1. I don't care that the Ravens are 1-5. I don't care that the other two teams suck. I have seen this story before. I've seen this movie time and time again in recent years. Last year, in fact, when they had a 2-game lead with 3 weeks to go.
Right.
And they found a way to lose the division.
That's really the story. Is I wanted to believe it was going to be different, and I was leaning in that direction. And this was a reminder, I think, to all of us. It was a punch right in the gut that, no, things really haven't changed that much. Do we really think it's going to be different than 9-8? 10-7, which is nice, and a first-round playoff loss. I mean, what happens when they run into a real defense, by the way? I don't think the Browns are sort of that, but they're still the Browns. You know, Green Bay's going to bring one. Kansas City's going to bring one in the playoffs. Other teams will. And, yeah, if the Bengals get Trey Hendrickson back and trade, I don't know, would Max Crosby be available? What if they're all of a sudden lining up with him and Trey? They desperately need help. They should be dead. The Steelers gave him life.
Joe Flacco lit them up. It was a self-fulfilling prophecy by Tomlin. Yep. I think he actually gave his team, clearly, as it turned out, the wrong attitude and mindset to have for this game. And I can make that comment because of the result of the game. So that's one. Like, I didn't think that would ever happen. I thought that the offensive line was so bad, he was going to maybe not get sacked a million times, but he was going to, you know, abort several plays, tons of plays, because he was under pressure and he can't go anywhere and hide. He can't run. He did run, which is ironic that he had that running play late, but I don't want to get sidetracked by that. So that happened. That obviously makes me mad. Jamar Chase, 16 catches, Bengals record, games on the line. You don't want him to beat you. He doesn't even have to make challenging catches. He's wide open. He's getting wide
open. Well, there's that Warren Sharp screenshot of Bengals need a field goal to win the game let's check in on the Steelers' defense. Is there anybody
There's
within 15
no
yards of him?
Near him.
There's
so
one Steeler in the entire frame.
So that drives me up a wall.
Yeah.
But you know what bugs me the most from that game? From the way the defense turned in for $160 million, a 5-cent performance.
Yeah.
Flacco is not a Hall of Famer, but he is a Ravens Hall of Famer and a guy that won a Super Bowl. Chase is a Hall of Famer. They don't have days like that often, but I've seen that happen.
Chase has beaten the Steelers with Burrow before with very impressive plays.
Right. They had one of the biggest beatdowns on the Steelers there in Ben's last year.
He kind of announced himself with that, like, right before the half, the ball in the bucket.
The most egregious part of that game
was
the way they let literally a, like, 1A high school football rushing attack. I'm not talking about Clareton or Fort Cherry. It was so bad that almost every, and I've watched every Bengals game this year, almost every game, by like the 10-minute mark in the first quarter, they just said, screw it. We're not even going to try this anymore. The game's not even out of hand yet, but we're just so bad at this, it's not even worth it anymore. We'll drop back and throw the ball 50 times. This ain't it. And the second quarter, this Bengals rushing offense perked up like Icky Woods was back in his prime or Corey Dillon, and they're dancing in your face on every long run.
Perked up, huh?
They shoved it. Yeah, thanks. They shoved it up your rear end in the run game, and they were by far, Chris, the worst team at it in the NFL. And for this defense, everything's a mindset. Steelers' DNA, we're physical, we're tough, all of those things they prescribe to be and pretend to be. For them to get pushed around in the run game last night, I thought was the by far the most embarrassing aspect of what happened defensively, because everything sprung off of that. Now we actually have to respect the run, and that's how you get some opportunities for Higgins and Chase where you don't have the numbers there to completely lock them down. How did they let Chase Brown, with that offensive line, rip off runs of 15 yards, 17 yards, 23 yards? Every 2 minutes, Michaels was going, wow, that's the longest run of the Bengals season. Can you believe that, Kirk? You're actually a closet Bengals fan. Aren't you shocked by that?
So, that was the... Like, I predicted a Steelers win that would be close, and the two things I kind of foresaw the Bengals protecting Flacco well because I thought he would get the ball out quickly. Tomlin was right to say that keeping them off schedule was going to be important, and the Steelers just very rarely did that even in the second half. You can squint or you can rationalize getting beat by Flacco, who, if he had played with Higgins and Chase his whole career, probably would be a Hall of Famer. Chase, who is going to be a Hall of Famer. Higgins, who is like a Hall of Very Good. Higgins would be a one on a lot of teams. You can rationalize that because they're all really good, and they're better than the guys trying to stop them.
Yeah.
What is hard to rationalize, particularly in light of the way the Steelers stuffed the Browns, who had been running the ball pretty well with Judkins, the way they dominated up front in many ways against the Vikings.
Minnesota, exactly. Minnesota didn't run the ball on them.
Is that they just were getting knocked off the ball repeatedly. It wasn't like Chase Brown, who I think is a talented guy, was making something out of nothing or having some of those Jaylen Warren-style runs that he'll rip off where like he bounces off three people, he's getting hit before the line of scrimmage. The holes were big.
Exactly.
The
holes were repeated. Immediately, man.
They were moving Steelers players who haven't been moved like this in several weeks right off the ball. That's what was so stunning. That's what turned what I thought would be a close game that would be lower scoring than this into a game the Bengals won and controlled for the majority. They ran it at will. Pony, they ran the ball to the tune of like 6.2 yards per carry.
Chris, Brown averaged 9.8 yards a carry,
man. Averaged 10.
He averaged a first down a run.
That's basically what Matt Sieg does in Fort Cherry. Like, every time he touches the ball, it's a first down.
And they came
imagine
in.
Being Jaylen Warren and averaging 8 yards a carry, and you are not the highest average per carry guy in the game.
They came in with 57 rushing yards a game. They didn't have a run over 13 yards all year. That is so bad. Like, the adjectives and words I want to use on the air, I can't. And I'm not saying this because I'm pissed off that this performance caused me to now have my nipples pierced. Even if I didn't make this stupid wager, I would still be livid over this. If I was being nice today, I might want to tip my cap to Flacco and Chase. Those guys are real dudes. This run game is not. And that, to me, was the whole turning point of the game. How can you let that happen on a short week? They didn't have time to scheme up anything creative in
the run
game.
That's just getting beat physically.
Right.
That's getting beat physically. That's all that is. That's their guys. That's the old Chuck Knoll thing. He can take Urin and beat Hizen and take Hizen and beat Urin.
All those guys in the front seven. Harmon, Benton.
Benton had that one sack early, and that was like the only splashy thing that happened.
Highsmith, Herbig, Queen, Wilson.
Till the very end of the game.
Where, those guys should not show their face in Pittsburgh today after that performance.
Where was Watt?
Nowhere.
Like, until the, I mean,
he didn't
that
have
was
a sack
bizarre.
Until the fourth quarter.
And I understand that they were getting the ball out quick, and you have to at least give credit and say their game plan was good, but like...
Make a play in the run game. Chase down a guy.
There were numerous times where it just looked like Watt was just, I'm not saying standing around, but he basically was unnoticeable.
Here's Melvin in Alabama on the fan. Hello, Melvin.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
We're good. No, we're not. Well, that's a lie.
I'm fine, Melvin.
Okay, guys. Okay, so listen. Okay, but we lost by 2 points. We've seen the game where the offense does nothing and the defense phases. We barely lost by 2 points. It's all those stats you guys just ripped off. We lost by two. So I'm not in no, you know what I'm saying, flames. And we're playing Jamar Chase.
So hold on. Let me ask you this, though. I can, like, if you were just going to say, hey, they got beat by Jamar Chase, I'd be right there with you. He's the best receiver in football, in my opinion. But we just got done saying a team that couldn't run the ball at all ran it for, like, 6.5 yards a carry. Their main back ran it for 10 yards a carry on them. That is alarmingly bad.
You're right. I just wanted to
Melvin, let me ask you a question
Melvin, hold on. Before you do, Pony, Melvin, I'll ask you a quick one. Are you still optimistic about the Steelers this season?
He's not acting like it's a big deal at all. No, Melvin, let me ask you this question.
I want to hear his answer.
Hold on a second here. If the Steelers, Melvin, stop for a second.
I'm sorry. Yes, sir.
If the Steelers played the Packers next week without Aaron Rodgers and TJ Watt, would you pick them to win?
Oh, heck no.
They played without Hendrickson and Burrow. Case closed. You can't lose to them, man. You can't.
You're right.
And you're coming out of the air saying, hey, it's not all bad. It's pretty bleak, bro.
I mean, but we lost my two. That's I'm cool. It's okay. But hey, Pony, please, let me get this in. Hey, Charlie, you guys got to help me, man. Do not let Pony do this. Quick story. My ex, right, she got her nipples pierced, and she ended up had them for a long time. Daddy issues type of chick. She's cool, though. But she ended up going to jail for some tickets, and they took them out. And freaking, she said she would never, ever go through that pain.
Well, I got you, Melvin, but I hope that I'm not in the slammer and involuntarily I have the
nipple
piercings the rings removed.
I'm just, she had daddy issues, but she was cool. Melvin really described, that's like a short story right there.
Look, man.
It's one of those like 10-word stories.
Hey, everybody's going to fan the way they want to fan. People have coping mechanisms. People obviously say one thing before a game. The game happens. It doesn't go the way you want. You move the goalpost to make yourself feel better. Not everybody made a moronic comment like me and now has to pay for it. I get that. But when presented with this by people, I'm not just going to sit back and say, you know what? Thanks for finding the silver lining to things. You're right. They did only lose by 10 points. Their best defensive player was out, and Burrow was in the sideline in a walking boot. They had the worst point differential in the NFL. Every good team they had played who thinks that they're actually somewhat, contenderish, beat them by more than a touchdown. Most of them beat them by almost by 20 points or more. So, yeah, okay, Flacco is an improvement on Browning. This should have been, Chris, the worst the defense for them looked all year, and you took advantage of it for the most part. You scored 31 points.
Yeah, I'm going to do a quick search. I wonder how many times a team has lost, like, in the last couple of years, averaging, like, 7.5 yards per play, which the Steelers did, I believe, getting over 390 in total yardage, and scoring at least 30. What would you bet a team's winning percentages with those numbers?
Yeah, like, way over 90%.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even closer to 100. I know, I'm in a cranky mood. But
couldn't
if you
tell.
Were me, you'd probably be reacting the same way.
He's back! Steelers leading receiver, 5 catches, 111 yards, 2 touchdowns. The long one there is 68, targeted 6 times. They tried to get it to him early. There was one that was negated by a penalty by Cincinnati. But then you didn't see much of Freiermuth until they were trailing. And then he became really their number one wide receiver from that point forward. This is how they're going to use him. Like if they need to be going up and down the field and throwing the ball, they look at him as a good receiving tight end. That's obvious. And Rodgers looked for him in a key moment there. And I just don't think you've seen the last of Patty Fry.
I mean, this is exactly how they wanted to use all tight ends. I mean, let alone just Pat Freiermuth. I mean, what, four tight ends caught a touchdown? And Connor Hayward almost caught one.
Yes, he did.
Hit off his hands. He needs to catch that, by the way. But
yeah. That was a great play design, too.
Yeah, right up the, you know, the insert, mm-hmm. right up the gut.
That's what rail. I called that, except I said it was going to be Metcalf, so I definitely didn't call
Metcalf
it.
Metcalf did go out in a flat route, though.
He did.
Uh-huh. You were close.
Wow. I'm so happy.
From the backfield. That's
yes.
a good call by you.
Yes. I'm so happy.
Darnell cut
this
the touchdown.
Morning.
Yeah.
That paid for our McDonald's today.
Darnell cut the touchdown, but you odds and ends the Metcalf throw, yeah. which was the same play, but you bet on Darnell. Look at that.
Yeah.
Bang, bang.
Bang, bang, bang.
Do you want the results of odds and ends?
Not just yet, because for as bad as the game wound up being, entertaining game, but for as bad as the result and this highly paid defense played, is it okay to be encouraged by the offense?
I am.
I'm very encouraged by the offense. And look, it feels like it's the end of the world right now, and we're going to have a show like it's the end of the world right now because that's what the people want, and that's how I feel in my heart of hearts. But there's a lot more football to be played. The Steelers' offense is a top 10 offense in the NFL right now. You can't convince me otherwise. And I know Cincy's defense sucks, but you did what you're supposed to do against a bad defense.
That's why I was going to take it back. Okay, yeah, it looked good against a very bad defense.
But I thought that relative to a competition last week, it looked good. Like, the Browns' defense is good, and they played well.
Yeah.
And Minnesota's defense is good, and they played well. New England, that game was kind of goofy. But more often than four out of the six games, I think you got an above-the-line offensive performance. And last night, it was significantly above the line. You can't lose that game when you score 31 points. So I could say on one hand, oh, I love the Steelers' offense. I believe in the Steelers' offense in a way that I haven't since like 2018, Ben. But on the other side, you can't lose that game. We said it all offseason. Rodgers is going to have a handful of games where you go, damn, that's the old Rodgers. We got one last night. And we got one in game one. They are 1-1 in games where he throws four touchdown passes. You need to be undefeated in games where your 41-year-old quarterback throws four touchdown passes. Full stop. Have to be.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whoa, boss, how did that happen?
Mind your business.
I mean, how did a forklift make a shish kebab out of our company truck?
I said, mind your business, Billy. It's why we have auto owners. We work with an independent agent to customize our policies. So when the unexpected happens, we know we're covered. Because unlike you, minding our business is their business.
Oh, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if auto owners make sense for you.
You didn't do this, did you, boss?
Mind your business, Billy.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H 2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well,
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.